Yeshua Samaradasu Shlita, Rav Meir Danik, I cannot tell you that since the last time I had the privilege of being together in the shul together with the tzibur, I missed hearing the words of the Rav. Eliyahu Hanavi said, "Va'ani nosa navi levadi l'Hashem." I alone was a navi to Hashem. The question is asked. We know that there were so many Nevi'im that were hidden. He was not alone. So what does it mean that I was alone, the Navi LaHashem? The Kol Tzofayich comments that it was he that had the expression, he had the language, he knew how to relate to the people, he knew how to bring them under the sphere of influence of Hashem. And because of that, he was Navi Levadi LaHashem. He was the one alone that was able to communicate. In a generation like ours, with the nisyonos, with the terrible, terrible challenges that face our people today, it is a great zechus that Hashem has sent us a rov, like the Maradasra, to deliver the message of Hashem to each and every one of us. It is a zechus this evening to come on behalf of ACT. Just the idea that they are Ma'orer Kiddush Hashem, Reb Jonathan. I cannot tell you, in today's day and age, how important it is that we keep that forever in our mind. The important mission that we are on, as it says in the great Michtam Eliyo, Reb Dessler, that the greatest mitzvah is to bring about a Kiddush Hashem in everything that we do, in our private life, in our public life, in the shul, out of the shul, no matter where we're at. It is the single greatest thing that a person can strive for, to make a Kiddush Hashem. I had wanted to be together this evening with Rav Phil Rosen. He communicates with me, he writes to me, he sends me the materials. I am so inspired and moved by all that he does. There is nothing greater. And I would just like to say that just like he is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim and he is Marbe Kavod Shamayim, he increases the honor of Hashem, so too he should be in the front line of bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu and causing our people to have the Gula Shalema Bimhera, quickly. I would like to also apologize. It's an impossible traffic this evening, and I had great Agmas Nefesh, but it is offset by the great Simcha that I have to be together with everybody this evening. Ein l'cho davar ha'omed b'ifnei ha'tshuva. There is absolutely nothing that can stand in the way, that can block tshuva. A person that wants to do tshuva, a person that wants to come close to Hashem, there is nothing that will hold us back. No matter what a person has done, no matter what a person has been through, it is always possible for a person to do tshuva. The Medrash Shochar Tov, I want to just quote for a moment. Gedola tshuva, greatest tshuva, shekodma lebrios olam. That it came into play before Brias Olam, before the world was created. And it is the refuah, it is the healing, it is the remedy, it is the medicine that Hashem gave to us before the makkah, before that which makes us ill, chas v'shalom. Every person in this world has in their hands the power to do tshuva. The only thing is, there is a skula, there is a charm, a mystical charm, if you will, that can wake everyone up, that can arouse us and inspire us to do tshuva. The great tzaddik Baba Sali, Zuchuso Yogen Olenu, the great Rav Abuchatzera, every evening and every time there was something special, Baba Sali would always want to go before anything special happened to the mikveh, in order to immerse, in order to be tovel. So he told the Rosh HaKohol, he told the president that he wants to go on one evening. And they were a little bit afraid in Morocco in those days to go out at night, especially late at night. But Baba Sali said, "I want to go. That's where I have to go. I'm going. The president said, all right, if the great tzaddik is going, I've got to at least go with him. I have to accompany him. I have to be milav the rav. So they both went, and when they got to the mikveh, so the president, the Rosh HaKol, took the key, and he tried to open the door. But the door wouldn't open. He tries for a while, and he says to Baba Sali, I'm sorry, it's not working, I guess we have to go back. So Baba Sali said, do you mind if I try the key? He said, no, not at all. Baba Sali went, he took the key, as soon as he put it in the door, he turned it, the door opened up. Baba Sali turned to his president, and with a chuckle he said, you have to really want to go in order to open the door. The truth is, in tshuva, when a person is approaching the days of Elul, it's daunting. It's a scary experience. Because we approach it, and all of us know that we have certain things that we have to do tshuva on. We have certain things that may have happened throughout the year that are difficult for us. Maybe I said something to another person and I shouldn't have said it. Maybe I wasn't careful enough in one mitzvah or another. So we find something fascinating. The fascinating thing is, in the past parashiyot, we've read about going into war. Mi ha'ish hayarei v'racha levav. Who is the one, the soldier that goes that's a little bit afraid? So it says that the soldier that's afraid, he should go back. He should go back home. Don't go to war. Rambam talks about it. He'll get other soldiers in the troop nervous. He should go back. So what's the avera that he has? What is the big sin that he has committed that he's afraid that he's got to go back home? So the Gemara tells us in Sota, very interesting, that by accident, in between putting on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, the hand tefillin and the head tefillin, the tefillin of the head, by accident he spoke out. He didn't mean it. That was a small little avera. That's a small sin. However, if he is guilty of that sin, he got to go back home. Now that's an amazing thing. That would be like, by accident, you're going in Highland Park or wherever you're going throughout the world, in London, in Australia, in South Africa, in Ireland, and all of a sudden, you saw a piece of paper on the ground, and it looked like some Hebrew writing. So you thought that maybe it was just some directions how to go somewhere, and it was in Hebrew. But the truth is, it was a page of Megillas Esther. And you didn't pick it up. And you walked over. You didn't mean to. You thought probably it's a page, it's directions. You probably thought it fell out from a Hebrew storybook. And it was okay. That's what kind of an aver we're talking about. However, we read something else about the soldier. When we're ready to go into war. So it says, Shema, listen. Listen to all the people. Gathering together, the Kohen Mashiach gathers them together. Shema. So what does Rashi tell us? What do we learn? That even if a person only has the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that's all they have, just Kriya Shema alone, nothing else. They didn't do any other mitzvah during the day. Not the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, not the mitzvah of Sukkah, not Lulav and Esrog. They didn't do the mitzvah of Tefillah in other areas, but just Kriya Shema. It's the only thing. And maybe they did a lot of Isurim, maybe they transgressed a lot. But they have the one mitzvah of Shema, and that zchus alone, in that merit alone, they will be able to be Zoche Badin. They will be saved, they will be meritorious, they will win against the foreign troop. So, it's a great question that Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz asks. He says, which one is it? Is it the person that is so careful that the only avera they did, the only sin that they have was by accident they spoke in between putting on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh? Or is it that the person is so far away that the only thing that they're doing, the only one mitzvah that they're still doing, is saying Kriya Shema? And he answers so beautifully. He says, what do we strive for? All of us. We strive for the highest heights. We strive for the best in learning, the best for our children. We strive for the best in our tefillah. We want to daven the best. There was a woman that came from the Ezra's Noshim. She came from the ladies section 2 weeks ago. And she said to me, I'm not sure if I'm doing an Avera or not. Not sure I'm doing a sin or not. I said, it's okay. No, I have to tell you. I said, you don't have to. It's a different religion. You don't have to say anything. It's okay. Misvada to Hashem. We confess to Hashem. She said, no, I feel that I have to tell you. I daven in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, before davening starts. Before tefillah, I do it. During tefillah, in order that I understand what I'm saying, I pray in English. I'm worried now, because it's the beginning of Elul, and I'm wondering whether I should do tshuva for what I do. I could not believe it. A woman that I know goes through the parsha every week, who is careful and medakdek, and she is so meticulous in her observance of mitzvahs, and she's asking me if she does an avera because she prays in English. I turned to her and I said to her, you know, in the Gemara it says, Yirbu Kamasa, there should be many like you in Klal Yisrael. How wonderful it is. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachu Ba'aretz. How great it is. There are people like that, who their biggest Avera is that they prayed in English together with everyone. No Avera. The Rav will tell us. I'm sure it'll be one of the future discussions. However, on the other side of the coin, there are certain people who the only thing that they can do is perhaps they can come on Yom Kippur, maybe they cannot daven, maybe they can't pray, but they sit there. They sit there all day. So there is such a thing as the Tzumo Shel Yom, the essence of the day. We pass through the day of Yom Kippur, and that in itself is kapara. That in itself is atonement. My great Rebbe, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said there was one person that used to come to shul on Yom Kippur, could not pray, could not do anything, unlearned, but would sit there an entire day and would not go home. Rabbi Miller said, that person has kapara. That person has atonement. That person has mechil and slicha. So it is instructional for all of us that we try for the greatest. We want to be the person that the biggest avera, the biggest sin is they spoke in between. However, if we don't get there, and maybe we're still in the beginning, maybe we're still trying all that we can, we should never ever be discouraged. We should never be miyayish, never give up. Because whatever we do, we cannot tell how great is that mitzvah that we are doing right now. We can never tell what will be the value of a person in the single slightest mitzvah that they're able to do and to fulfill. In the eyes of Hashem, it is very difficult for us to know the greatness of one mitzvah, or the one time that a person is able to turn away from doing something that they shouldn't, from doing something that is asur. We can never tell the greatness of that as well. Why? Lefi sheyesh bo koach hatshuva, that every person has a power of tshuva. And the power of tshuva is so great, that power is so empowering, that a person is able through that power of tshuva to straighten out their life. Even one time, there was a young girl that came into the study, and she said she would like to speak something over, and she has been thinking about it a long time. So I said, sure, what is it? She put her head down on the desk, on the other side of the desk, and she cried for, I would say, a good 10 minutes straight. I didn't know the person. I wondered what happened. But I saw that there were tears over something that had happened. It wasn't simple. I went, I brought her some water. I brought her some tissues. And I felt not to say anything, to patiently wait. I waited for a while. Finally, she told me that she went very, very far off the derech. Very far. In the beginning, she went to a party, and I'm going to say it. They gave her something to smoke. There was pressure, peer pressure. She smoked it. Afterwards, the same harmful influences came into her life, and they introduced her to other things, until it came to be the point that she got to hard drugs. She felt horrible. It came time that she realized Rosh Hashanah is coming around, and she doesn't know how she's going to face it. Because every time she gets ready, and she says, I want to make a break with it, I want to recover, I want to go into a program, every time it happens, the severity of what she did and how she went away and how many mitzvahs she ignored came in front of her. So it's interesting. Would I tell her? I told her from the Pasuk, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Kirav al Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach, do the Avodah. And it says there, Vayikrav Aaron al Mizbeach. And Aaron came close to the Mizbeach. The Ramban enlightens us on why it was that Aaron needed coaxing. He needed to be inspired. He needed to be encouraged. The reason is because he saw the Mizbeach Ketav Nishar. He saw the Egel Azov, the only Avera that he had some part in, the only sin that he had part in was the Egel Azov, the golden calf. And when he came close to the Mizbeach, he saw that form there and he recoiled and he got upset and he was afraid to approach it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything in the past. Don't be afraid of what you envision. Approach that Mizbeach. Don't worry about it. He went and he approached it and he got kapara for all the things in his own life. Sometimes an individual went through something and they may see it in the future and it may hold them back from doing tshuva. But Hashem says when a person does tshuva, they completely erase anything that happened. And I told her, it erased anything that happened. Your good thoughts, the fact that you came here, it's a nes nifla. I told her the fact that you're here is a miracle. That you want to do tshuva, that you want to break from it, and you decided I should have the schus that you'll come in. It is not a question in my mind that everything good is going to happen because of this evening. And I said, Bez Hashem, not only this should happen, that you'll come back and that you'll be close to Hashem, but good things will happen in your life. So, she did come back. And there was this was last year, and there was quite a road that she took. I received the invitation in the mail, with a small letter. Her wedding is coming up in a couple of days. Her wedding. Miracle to a young Ben Torah, to a very fine person that is close to Hashem. And I thought to myself, if there is anybody who would have a difficulty, it certainly would be her. Look what happened to her. Look where she came from. And look what she ended up as. Terrible. On the other hand, the koch of tshuva is magasa kisei hakavod. It is so great that the koch of tshuva can lift a person up even if the things that they've done are such severe sins, such great averus, that they are afraid to approach tshuva. Even that individual should know that there is tshuva. Part of the way that a person has of making, of doing tshuva in this world is by always remembering the ability that every person, every one of us has to make a Kiddush Hashem, is to sanctify Hashem's name. There was a rabbi that moved in to a city in the south. A rabbi moved in, and he had to go to the downtown section to register and to take care of all the legal matters. So he boarded the city bus. And when he boarded the city bus, so there at that time, he paid the fare. And the bus driver gave to him back change. However, the bus driver overpaid the change. He gave him too much back. The man went to the back of the bus, the rabbi, and he sat down. While he was there, he took a look at the change, and he asked his neighbor, "Excuse me, how much is bus fare here?" The bus fare, he told him, is such an amount. And he says, "Well, I want to tell you, he overpaid me a quarter, paid me back too much money." The guy said, "Don't worry about it. It's okay, believe me. Everybody knows if they pay you back too much, you don't have to give it. Like, it's okay, no sweat. Don't worry about it. Just a quarter, it's not a dollar. It's all right. Leave it alone." So Rebbe had it. And he says, no, sir, if you're going to go back, they're going to laugh at you. You're going to go back and give back a quarter. He said, "But what can I do?" He waited till the stop when he was getting off. He goes to the bus driver. And he gives the bus driver, a regular bus driver, gives him back a quarter. The bus driver says, "Excuse me, aren't you the new rabbi in town?" He says, "Yes." He says, "You know, I wanted to see if you're an honest man. So I decided I'm going to give you an extra quarter. And I want to see if you're going to return it. Now that I see you return it, I was thinking about which synagogue to pray at. I'm not very, religious. But now that I see how you act and your comportment, you will see me this Saturday in your synagogue." The Rav gets off. He goes over to a light pole. And he leans against it. He's ready to faint. He's thought to himself for 1 second, for 25 cents, he made a Kiddush Hashem. For 25 cents, he could have made the biggest Chilul Hashem in the world. It is something that is difficult for us to know. There's a Rambam that says the following, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. Gedolah Tshuva, greatest Tshuva, Shemekareves Hasa'adam L'Shechina, that it brings a person close to the Shechina Kedosha. Shenemar, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, because it says, return B'nei Yisrael unto Hashem. HaTshuva Mekareves Eser Achokim. The Tshuva can bring back the person that is the furthest away. It can bring back anyone, no matter where they're at. I got a call about somebody that went very far away last week. Happens to be someone from Jersey. Happens to be a Taira Neshama, such a precious soul that has gone very far. And they're working on it day and night. However, I told them, don't worry, because tshuva can be mekarev, the person that has gone the furthest. No matter who the son, no matter who the daughter, no matter who the father, no matter who the mother is, tshuva has the power to bring them back. It could be that before the person was mishukatz umeruchak, and it could have been an abomination in Hashem's eye. V'hayom, however, today, that was yesterday. Today, hu ahuv v'nechmod, beloved in precious, karov, close, v'yedid, and beloved. That's the way that tshuva operates. It turns a person from being far to a person that is being very close. So, there was a great Rav, Rav Nachum Yasser. He was originally in the former Soviet Union, and he merited that all the children that he had stayed close to Torah, except for one, who became corrupted because of the environment. The one son abandoned Torah, he left home, and Rav Nachum never mentioned this son's name, ever. Of course, he never mentioned the tsar, the pain and the anguish he had, the personal pain. There was a group of young Kollel fellows, young Kollel students, and they wanted to know pshat in the Rambam. They wanted to have an explanation of this Rambam. So they picked Rav Nachum, and they said to him, "Please, Rebbe, could you explain this Rambam to us? We would like to have it elucidated." Rav Nachum could no longer contain himself. It was impossible. All the years of the pent-up emotions exploded. He exclaimed, "If I would merit that my son would come knocking on my door, saying, 'Father, I am here. I want to return to you,' my love to him would be incredible. Do you think for one second I would think about the heartbreak and the grief that I suffered all the years because of him? No. I would be totally elated that he comes back. I would be totally elated that he returns to his roots and he wants to return to the ways of the Melech Malkei HaMelechim." So too, Rav Nachum explained, Hashem Yisparach is overjoyed no matter what anybody has done, no matter what anybody has gone through. Hashem will take the person that has been the furthest away, and when they return, they become in Hashem's eyes an ahuv, a nechmud, a korov, and a yedid. Beloved and precious, close to Hashem, and a good friend. The Tonad Ve'elio says, Shamayim va'aretz, that heaven and earth can give witness, can bear testimony. More than a father waits for his son, more than a wife waits for her husband, Hashem waits for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people to do tshuva. So what is the skula? What is it that will help us in order to understand the greatness of tshuva, that will inspire us to want to come close, that will inspire us that when we daven, when each of us pray, that we will pray ad klos ha-nefesh, as if our life depended on it. And when we come for slichos, and it'll be this Motzoi Shabbos, Bezra Hashem, and we'll all come in and we'll all daven together. So at that time, the more that a person can draw it close to their heart, the more that a person can understand the singular zechus that we have to do tshuva, the great privilege, the great merit, that we actually can take everything that has ever happened and wipe the slate clean, like it says in the great Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the person that takes tshuva to heart, that takes the repentance to heart, they can completely remove any, even the slightest outline of a stain that used to be on the neshama. They can completely remove it. What is the skula? How do we do it? There's only one important thing, which is the main component of tshuva, the main component, midyaraisa, from the Torah of tshuva, and that is the following. Adam HaRishon, right? Adam was asked, why did you do this avera? Why did you do the sin? So Adam was smart, and he answers, excellent. Ho'isha ashenosato imadi, the woman that you gave to me, my wife, he nosna li mina eitz v'ochal, and I ate. So I'm giving you my perfect reason. I was not guilty whatsoever. I am a tzaddik yisod olam. My Rebbetzin gave it to me. She gave it to me, I ate it. I'm completely chof mi pesha. I don't do it. I didn't do anything wrong. You have to understand, Hashem. What happened because of this beautiful answer that he gave? Because of this, he was expelled from Gan Eden. Gan Eden, the greatest. After he was expelled from Gan Eden, the knas of Misa, of unfortunately losing his eternity, was then decreed. He had to toil for the rest of his life. If he only would have said, Chatasi, not my wife, not because it was cold out, not because of I saw something that I shouldn't have seen, not because of a different reason, social pressures, not because, you know, that's the way I am, you know, I can't help it. Not any reason, but a person says, Chatasi, I sinned. We learn that he would have had everything. Eternal life. He could have stayed in Gan Eden. He could have had everything that anybody could ever dream of. The only thing he had to say was, Chatasi. Like it says in Mishlei, Mechaseh Pshav Lo Yatzliach. The one who conceals their sins. I didn't sin. I did sin, but I didn't mean to sin. I did sin, but it was a mistake. Or, no, you don't understand, I have a heter to sin. I have a dispensation, I'm allowed to do it. I'm allowed. Or any other reason. So once a person's mechaseh peshav, they cover up their averus, they will not be successful. Umodeh ve'ozev yucham. The person that confesses and says, I was wrong. Hashem, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. I got a problem. I did this and I'm too used to doing it and I shouldn't have. Hashem, I got a problem with anger. I got a problem. I shouldn't be angry. I should have taken anger management. I'll admit it right up front. Hashem, I was rushing through the tefillahs and I shouldn't have. Maybe I should do like the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon said, say less. Say less, but do more. You say less, but you put in more kavana. My great Rebbe of Avigdor Miller, he would take half of the Pesukei de Zimra. I used to see him, the preliminary, on every single Shabbos. He used to skip half. I saw him. He'd go straight to Ashrei. But if you would see what he put into the Ashrei, if you would see what he put into what he did say, then you would say it's different. The one that can say, I did sin. I didn't do right by you, Hashem. I tried to sneak what I shouldn't have done. I looked when I shouldn't have looked. I heard when I shouldn't have heard. I could be better. I got jealous of that other guy. I got jealous of that lady. A person that says, Chatasi, I sinned, they will have everything good in this world. I must tell you, I was in court because I was asked to come on behalf of a certain individual that was being tried for a very unfortunate crime that he had no capital gain, that he made nothing out of, that he didn't gain anything whatsoever, but he was told by somebody in the company that he should give a certain answer that he was making a report on, and it was not truthful. You've got to keep away from that which is not true. It doesn't matter what heterim there are not to say the truth, to say the truth, whatever it is. A person signs something, it's got to be true. So, it was a very big case, and many people were brought into the case. Matt Lewin, among other notable lawyers, were there. At the end, I was there for the sentencing. It was bitter. People came from all over the community, a beloved fixture in the community. I'll never forget, they start crying before the judge rendered his decision. And I said to myself, how bitter it is, but I only wish I could save those tears for Ne'ila. I wish I had those tears during Ne'ila that they're now crying. If a person could only imagine that there's a din in Shemayim. If a person could only see that in that moment, in that moment of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, how great it would be. Everybody cried. I also cried. The judge, an elderly man, got up, and not only did he start to pronounce the sentence, but he wanted to give a little bit of mussar. He gave a little bit of ethical reproach to everyone. And he addressed the individual by name. And he said, this case has gone on. And he said the duration of the case when it started, the starting date, the first trial and everything. And he said, I want you to know, I'm going to pronounce a sentence, but it is not the sentence that I wanted to give. Had I heard one time throughout the entire trial, the words, I'm guilty, I did the wrong thing, I committed a crime, I would never, never, judging from all the good that this person has done to the community, judging from all the letters that were sent and he held them up, judging from what I come to know about this individual, judging from everybody that gathered here today from the community, if I would have heard just one time, I'm guilty. If I would have heard one time, I did the wrong thing, I would have let that individual off. He would not have had to serve any jail time. However, I didn't hear just those words. I thought to myself, how interesting it is that we do not sometimes realize the power of being able to confess, of saying, I've sinned, I did the wrong thing, of walking over to a person and asking mechila from them, asking forgiveness, of being able to say, a husband to a wife to a husband, a father to a son, a daughter to a mother, I did something wrong. I haven't been 1,000% honest. Or anything else that a person may think about. I want to tell you a very interesting vidoy. And vidoy is important when we start. And a person takes oshamnu. I saw in the Chaya Adam, Rebbe Avram Danzig writes in the Chaya Adam that oshamnu, if you take the letters of the Aleph base, it's all Ashamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi. It goes in order. It is not only for Ashamnu, Bogadnu, but it has to do with all of the Averos, all of the sins that begin with that letter. All the Alephs, all of the base, all of the Gimel, all of the Dalid, all of the letters they go through. You can put in the blanks whatever we feel that we want to do tshuva for. And it will be covered under the base, the gimel, the dalet, the hay, and the vav. And it's an amazing thought, because instead of just going through the vidoy booklet, I realize that all the things that I may want, my personal things, where I may have been negligent, the personal things that I might have done, I want that those should be covered. And the more that I can be mechaven, the more I can think during that time when I confess my averus to Hashem that I did this wrong, the greater is our tshuva. That is the skula in being able to say that I confess. I would like to read to you the confession from the great survivor of the Holocaust, the great Klosenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that was not too far from here in Union City, New Jersey. It was just a few days after they had been liberated, and it was during Slichos that the Klosenberger Rebbe stood in front of the Tzibur. The entire congregation was gathered together. He said, we are now prepared to say Vidoy, we are prepared to confess to Avinu Shabashamayim, to our Father in Heaven. As soon as he did that, everybody started to cry. Vidoy, to think about it, that a person is going to say Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, that I have to say these words, it's a difficult thing. So everybody started to cry. But he said, I have a few questions first that I would like to ask. Haim Oshamnu? Are we guilty? We sin? I walked together with thousands of Achenu B'nai Yisrael, my Jewish brothers and sisters, in the gates of us, in the valley, the shadow of death. I walked together with them. We were Mosa Nefesh. We all self-sacrificed, Leman Shmo Ba'ava, for Hashem. Did we sin? I would like to also ask, Bogadnu? Did we rebel? How could we be categorized as rebels of the shchitas, the harigas, all the killing and the slaughter that went on and the torture? Is it possible? Bogadnu? Gozalnu? Gozalnu? Did we steal? Was there anything that we had? Did any of us have anything possibly to steal or to steal from? Nobody! Nobody had anything at all. If we would even see the smallest little potato peel, what would we do? We would bend over and pick it up, and we would hide it, and we would save it because we had to ration that potato peel in order to live. It was a delicacy. Did we really do the Avera? Gozalnu. If so, so Hashem, I would like to know, what exactly is the complaint on Klal Yisrael? What is the Taina? What is the Tfiya? The Klosenberger Rebbe let out a cry and everybody joined in. He said, but it's true. It's true. We did an Avera. We did an Avera. We sinned. And they all looked at the great Klosenberger Rebbe. What was the sin? He says, because we thought, Chashavnu shenamus hayom o mochar. We thought we're going to die either today or tomorrow. Shelo eminu sheyesh lakadosh baruch hu koach l'shachrer otanu. We didn't believe that Hashem has the power to free us. V'al kein. And because of that, the Klosenberger Rebbe turned around and began, Oshamnu, Bogadnu. Later he said that the main reason that holds us back from many things is because of Emunah and Bitachon. The lack of Emunah, the lack of Bitachon. All of us have great Emunah. All of us have great Bitachon. And who has Bitachon and Emunah like Klal Yisrael? It's unreal. But he says it's the time now to strengthen ourselves, to become better, to become stronger, to realize the great Emunah, the great power of faith, which brings so much, that if a person believes with all that they have, the power of Emunah can bring brachos into this world like nothing else in the world. A person that has not only the Emunah, but thanks Hashem for what will happen in the future. Many times a person will say, you know, I'll thank Hashem, but when I get it, and you know, I like this or this or this to happen, but first, I want to see it happen. Then I'll thank Hashem. We learn, Oda Hashem b'chol levod. That means that even before the bracha will happen, I am thanking Hashem that it's happening already. I am very careful with my words. I am thanking Hashem that all the good things that I'm hoping for in life, I'm thanking Hashem right now that they will happen. When a person does that, and their hearts are full of Emunah, and their hearts are full of Bitachon, then it's much different. A person that does not lose their Emunah or Bitachon, that they keep their faith and they keep their Emunah, they always leave the opening that Hashem will bring the Yeshua for them. Because they will not falter for even one second. There was just an amazing idea that is brought out in a very, very direct way, that a person, Hashlech el Hashem Yehovcha, if it's too difficult for a person and they got the burden on their back, Hashlech el Hashem, throw it to Hashem, v'hu yichak alecho. Throw your burden to Hashem and He will help us, He will take us the way that we need to go. Many times a person will say when it comes time for tshuva, I don't think that I will be able to do tshuva for what I did. I don't think so. I don't know if what I did was so bad that I could ever do tshuva for it enough in my life. The truth is, if you take a look at famous Balei Avera, people that did tshuva in their life, that did many, many bad things, you'll see that we're nothing like them. Bilam, Paro. Paro did tshuva. Is anybody here as bad as Paro? Elozer ben Dardea. Elozer ben Dardea. He didn't leave one sin unturned. He did whatever it was, he did everything. Elozer ben Dardea. And he was zoich at the end that he was called Rebbe. Can you imagine? Every person has the power to do tshuva. Every person has the power to repent. The only thing is, an individual has to believe that it is so. They have to have their emun in Hashem. They have to have enough in their own heart to know that Hashem is the Kol Yachol and can do anything in this world, can forgive anybody, can be mochel anybody, can turn the person that is the biggest whatever person off the derech, osvar, to become a tzaddik. That the individual can turn and become great in this world. Every person has the ability to do it. The great Reb Baruch Ber, I'm sure everybody has charata, everybody regrets something that happened in their life. I'm sure that everybody regrets. I will just tell you that it could be on many different levels that a person regrets. Know the Shasa Kosher. Know the time that a person has to do a mitzvah is right now. A guy called me up. He wants to do the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. We just learned about it, right? The schar for Shiluach HaKein, everybody knows. The schar for sending the mother bird is Arichas Yomim. It's a length of days. It's what we all want. We all want 120 good years. So he calls me up and he says, Rabbi, I would like to ask you a shiloh. I said, yes, sure. Somebody offered me the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, but he wants $250 for it. I said, it's a good deal. It's a mitzvah, it's for free. I said, do you buy lulav and esrog, or they give it to you free at this? No, I buy it. Let me ask you a question. You wear tzitzit? Of course I do. Did they give it to you for free? It's a mitzvah, or you pay for it? You say, see, pay for Shiluach HaKein. Yeah, but doesn't the Pasuk say that you bump? I said, yes, the Pasuk said. Can I ask you a question? Personal question? Yes. How old are you? He hesitates for a moment. 61. Okay. Did you do mitzvah Shiluach HaKein yet? He says, no. I said, now you have the ability. So it costs a little bit of money. Since it didn't happen yet, maybe it's Kedai. You really think so, Rav? I said, yeah, I would do it. I would pay. I would. Okay. About a week later, he called me up. I just wanted like a clear explanation on it, just to be mavar, you know, the Rav knows. I just want to like go through it again. I said, fine. He wants the mitzvah, he wants money for the mitzvah to show me where the bird is and to help me, and he has the ladder and he knows the halachot and he knows all the things. Could you do it? Do you think I should do it? I said, yes, definitely, go ahead. It's wonderful. Do the mitzvah, you're going to feel unreal about it. I had the schus to do it one time in my life. So far, it's unreal. Do it, it's a big skula. He says, okay, thanks for the encouragement. One more time he calls me up. He needs a pep talk again. He wants to be psyched up. I said, this is unreal. Do you know what it says about that mitzvah? It's unbelievable. We can have somebody take a picture of you and you'll have a picture to put up in your mantelpiece. I was mekayem the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. You can have a picture of you and the bird together. And habanim tikach loch. You can... What? Thanks. He calls me back. And I thought, I can't go through this a fourth time. I mean, I have some lotus, but only so much, you know, patience. He says, Rav, it's not good. I said, what's wrong? He said, the bird's not there anymore. I said, what happened? Shasa kosher! Have regret! The person didn't get a chance to do it. Have regret! Know that when a person has a chance to do a mitzvah, mitzvah bo liyodcha al tach mitzeno. A mitzvah that comes to your hand. The shul needs something. The community needs something. They call you up. Don't bump her around. Don't check your calendar a few times. Say yes. Worry about it later. Take the mitzvah. Mi yodea, the Chasam Sofer says that every time a person is asked for a mitzvah, it just didn't come to you by accident. That mitzvah was earmarked for you. It was sent to you FedEx with your name on it. Mi yodea why that mitzvah ended up on your doorstep. Mi yodea what a person needs from that mitzvah in their personal life. Mi yodea. It's not for you to decide. Oh, 250, not 250. Mitzvah b'liyadcha tach mitzana. I'll tell you one more. A very fine couple came in to me with their young son. He is graduating from Yeshiva Ketana, elementary. He's going to Yeshiva Gedolah. And the parents come in to me. They would like him to go to this yeshiva. He has a very big interest in the Limudei Kodesh. He has a very big interest in everything. And he wants to go to a little bit more intense of yeshiva. His parents came to me, I don't know them, his parents came to me and said, what do you think? I saw the boy, I spoke with him, I spoke with the parents, the boy is on fire. You know why it says, Veheshiv Leibavos Habonim Leibonim Alavaisom? Because when the parents sometimes see the fire in the younger generation, they got such enthusiasm and such greatness that the parents become inspired. I have to tell you the truth. Even from children that are off the derech, you can become inspired. It's an unbelievable thing. I want you to know, one of the biggest nisyonos today, biggest challenges, is the phone. The phone. The telephone. Cell phone. People are addicted. Smartphone. They got everything. What's on the phone, what's not on the phone, using the phone, texting on the phone. It's tremendous. And so, it happened to be, it was Erev Pesach, and I was ready to go. A couple of guys came to shul, from the shul. We were walking together. We're going to go to Mincha. All of a sudden, a teenager came. And a teenager says, can I talk to the rabbi for a minute? It's fine. Teenager came in the living room and talking to me. Teenager has a cell phone in one hand, an MP3 or iPod, I don't know what they are, iPod in the other hand, and the earphones and the AirPods, whatever these things are. There are no more earphones. I know the new phone. But anyhow, whatever it is, and he's standing there with the phone. And they're talking to me. One of the Balabatim came over to me and said, excuse me, Rabbi, it's time for Mincha. I said, you know what? Have me in mind. Go to Mincha. You know, have me in mind. You go and pray. They went. I finished with the young teenager. I ran to shul. I made it in time. Don't worry. Don't be choshed. I made it in time. And afterwards they said, but Rav, Erev Pesach, they couldn't find a better time to come to you. I said, I want you to know, if you would know what that young person came about, you would have gone over to that person and asked them for a bracha. They said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to know that that young person was afraid. They're looking at a two-day Yom Tov without their phone, without their iPod, without their MP3. It was impossible. They realize they're used to it. They're addicted to it on different levels of addiction. I don't want to say addicted major, but how are they going to go without it? The person was afraid that Chas v'Shalom they were going to touch it over Yom Tov and be mechala the Yom Tov. But they knew if they brought it to me and I put it away, they wouldn't have the azus to come and to ask me for it back. So I put it in a drawer in the study in the desk. I told him, you put it in. Nobody's going to touch it. No one is allowed to go into this drawer until you come and you take it back. Person brings their phone to the Rav, and I offer it to anybody if they want to bring it and leave it in the drawer afterwards. Cute. So after Yom Tov, I came back, and I came back just about 72 minutes. So the person said, you know, I thought you were going to wait 72 minutes to have the Marav. I'm very happy. They were worried it's going to be a longer time. That's how much they needed it. Mika Amcha, how great they are. But the individual says to me that they want to send to a yeshiva not as intense. That's not their personal liking. And maybe it's a little bit too much. And they don't want there should be a conflict between the yeshiva and the home. And I spoke with them and I pleaded with them. As we know, a person that has a fire to learn is interested. Let them go where they want to go. Let them be what they want to be. Let them go on their own level. Halavai, halavai, my children should learn better than me. Halavai, my children should be greater than me. Halavai, they should far pass me up. Anybody, I don't care, talmidim, talmidos, let them all do better than I do. They said, thank you very much, I appreciated it. And they left. They left. And I thought for sure that they're going to send him to the yeshiva of his choice. I was invited by Camp Aguda in the country. I was invited in Ellenville. They asked me to give a shiur. At night, the parking lot is right outside of camp. I was coming into my car. It was dark in the parking lot. And there, what happened was I was ready to close the door and I saw some resistance and I got scared. And I saw there were people there. In New York, maybe Jersey's a little bit better, Highland Park, nice. But in New York, I'm going to tell you, I said Vidoy right there. I saw, okay, they're all right. I get out of my car. I stand up. It's the two parents that came over to me with the son the year before. And they said, we don't know if you remember us, but we came and we wanted to ask the Sheila the question about where to send our son. And I said, yes. So he says, well, we thank the Rav very much for his counsel. However, we decided that we're going to send the son to the yeshiva that we would have gone to. I said, okay, I'm happy. It should be a big bracha. No, Rav. Things didn't go so well. He met up with some influences there. He went off the derech. And now we told him, for the upcoming year, he can go to the yeshiva where he wanted to go. And he said, no way. No way. He's done. And I thought to myself, the chance that a person has, mitzvah boliyot chaltach mitzana, when a person has a chance to do something that's right, when a person has an opportunity to do something that is sent from Shemayim, we should take it up. We shouldn't for 1 minute say, I'm not sure whether I should do it or I shouldn't do it. We should do it. That is our power. That is the power of tshuva. To recognize the moment. We're in Elul right now, going into Slichus. Every person has the power to do whatever we want. Every person has the power to change this world, to make an impact for Eretz Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, the things that we're able to do, each one of us. It's dependent on us. We have the ability to raise the entire Klal Yisrael. All of us together, we have the power. We should take it and we should understand the Shas HaKosher, the moment that we're on. A minute of vidoy, a minute where a person can say, I was wrong. It's a skula nifla. It is a wondrous charm for tshuva. A minute that a person takes their own learning or their own davening and they say, I want to put it up a notch. I want to elevate it a little bit. It's unreal. It is something that we cannot even imagine how great it is in Shemayim, the person that says just that one thing. I'll just be Messiah. I know we're a little bit over time, so we'll end B'dover Tov. The great Chacham Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said the following, that there were people and they were out in the night. It was very wintry. It was snowy. And they were traveling, and it was very difficult for them. So all of a sudden, there was a man with a carriage that was passing by. It's night, it's snowy, it's wintry, it's cold, it's harsh. So he says to the two, would you like to have a ride? This is terrible. You're out in the exposed to elements. Would you like a ride? They say, yeah, you know what? We would like a ride. Beautiful. They come inside. They sit down. Finally, they got a little roof over their heads, and they're there, one's on one side, one's on the other side, and everything is beautiful. It's unreal. They finally got saved from it. And then, all of a sudden, they see that in front of them is an Aron. Nebuch, there is somebody who's no longer in the Arz HaSachayim, and he's in an Aron, and this is carrying the Aron to wherever. So the trip that became in the beginning pleasant turned in not to be such a pleasant journey now, because they saw what they're carrying, who they're with. Okay, came to be a little bit more. All of a sudden, they see that there's movement, and the mace starts to move. And all of a sudden the mace begins to get up, and they begin screaming and yelling, "Oh no! Oh, oi! Ribbono shel Olam! Hashem! Hail, save us!" Both of them turn white like ghosts. The carriage driver outside realized. He said, "Please, please, it's okay. It's okay." "We mean it's okay! This guy, Shomafacha, go back down there, don't stay up. Please, please go back." The wagon driver says, no, it's okay. That's another person I picked up, and he told me he's very tired. He wants to lie down. So what can I do? I got an Aron in the back. He lied down, it's an Aron, got a little old. So he did it. It's okay. They both go, "Whew, wow, that's unreal." They sit back down. Beautiful travel, Nesiyah Tova. They take out a sandwich. What is it? Says Chacham Ovadia, a person goes through life, and it's pretty nice. Everything's going good. Things are good. Vacation's good. Everything's good. Beautiful. We got what we need. And then all of a sudden, Elul comes, and the Yemei Slichot V'Rachamim in Yom Kippur, and a person gets a little bit nervous because we come to the time in the Nesana Toikev, and we all read it together, and everybody trembles, and everybody Kivakara Suraya Yadro Mavritzano Tachashivto Kein Tabe V'Sispo V'Simna V'Sivkoi Nefesh Kolchoi, and everybody gets nervous. It is impossible for a person not to be upset. It is impossible for a person not to think in a few seconds to be mahar in tshuva, to think about tshuva like never in the whole year. The moments of Nila when we are together with Hashem, and we know during those seconds that no kitrig, that there is no mekatrig that's able to come and say anything bad. And for whatever we did during those seconds of Nila, a person has tshuva. So we're all nervous, and we cry and we scream. And then after those moments pass, Shuv Lafoach, go back. It's okay, I'm going back into the year. Chacham Avadya says, take the hisorus, take the inspiration of the time, of the moment, of the critical hour that we're in, put it into ourselves, and make sure that we live with that hisorus, with that inspiration, an entire year around. And the schus of all that this unbelievable Kehila does, and the schus of what ACT does in terms of Kiddush Hashem. And everybody, I hope that you have the module that I got, a number of pages with something practical for a person to take on each and every day. It's a checklist. It goes through life, and this Ma'orer, it brings up many things that people, I don't know if they think about. I certainly didn't when I was going through the pages. It's so worthwhile. In the schus of all that they do, in the schus of making a kinnas hisorus, we should be zocha, all of us, and all of Klal Yisrael, to a year of geula, a year of Yeshua, a year of parnos matzuya berevach, shalom bayis, all the children should go in the way, a year of refuas, a year of besuras savus, a year in which we can say it'll be the best one ever. Thank you.